Off the Groove with Scotty Dubler.
It's Friday, March 29th, 2024. Episode number 260 is right here. Thank you to Haley. Last weekend, we were in Sonoy. It looks like Sonoya, but I found out last Saturday night it's called Sonoy. So we're at the Atlanta / Sonoy Yamaha Short Track. Anyway, I mentioned last week on the podcast that Robbie Bobby had already pulled the plug and canceled Friday night's race. And looking back, that was a smart decision. When I landed Friday in the Atlanta airport, it was raining and it didn't let up for quite a while. There's also standing water in between the runways, so I think Robbie Bobby had the right decision. It did let up Friday afternoon, Friday evening a little bit. Went out to eat dinner with Ralph Shaheen, and then it started raining again Friday night. So Ralph and I didn't go to the track until Saturday around noon. It was nice out, and it was breezy, which is both conditions that AFT needed, but the sun never came out to help dry out the racetrack. So they couldn't actually get onto the racetrack until about 2 or so with the heavy equipment. It was so soft. And then when they finally went out there, they tried packing it in. It was still too soft, so they end up, you know, opening it up to let the air into the dirt to try to dry it out. Then they packed it back in. It was still really spongy, but the crew at AFT decided to do opening ceremonies at 6 o'clock or so, 6:15-ish. And then we sent the first group of practice out onto the racetrack around 6:30. And I think it was the smart decision. Looking back, hindsight's 20/20 and all that fun stuff, but you know, I think they handled it the best way they could. You know, if we would have canceled the race, I say we, if AFT would have canceled the race without sending any bikes out there on a nice, beautiful day, it would have looked really, really bad. So hats off, you know, tip of the cap to the guys in that first practice session of the Super Twins class. So they went out there and, you know, the times weren't terrible, but with only one group of bikes going out there, which is what, probably 10 riders, maybe 11. You could see ruts forming already, especially coming off of turn number 4. And I'm not sure why that particular part of the racetrack was, you know, rutting up and digging up as quickly as it did. But, you know, they run that whole entire first practice session and you could see the riders just shaking their hands. And, you know, a few of them pulled off a little bit early, which is smart. But the crowd that was there, you know, wouldn't have understood if they would have just canceled the race without at least attempting to send a group out there. So another thing that some people don't know that I had the luxury of knowing and I can kind of share it with you now is there's a curfew at that track for 11 p.m. So again, we get on the track at 6:30. By the time they dig it up again and pack it back in again and then try it again, to run 3 classes, I know, you know, possibly they could have scrapped the Bull Tacos, or possibly just one run practice, one qualifying, and then get straight into the heat races. You know, there's ways around it. But I think just canceling the whole thing for Saturday night was the best decision. I know it's not usually good to come back on Sunday. The crowd was light, I understand it. But, you know, for rider safety, I think it was the best decision to come back on Sunday. And, you know, looking at Jared Meese's social media post on Sunday morning, he said it the best. He said it was like riding out there on Play-Doh, and I couldn't describe it any other better way. So, you know, again, hats off to those folks that did go out there. They did attempt it. If we wouldn't have attempted it, it would have looked really bad to the folks that were sitting in the grandstands. So Sunday rolls around. Let's try it again. We were going to do a little bit later start. I know we originally were planning on being on the racetrack around noon, but the track crew needed as much time to get that track ready to go. So we were going to start at 2 o'clock. Actually, so that meant 1:45 opening ceremonies. 2 o'clock would be practice. And believe it or not, they had to water. So that's the problem. It's hard on top and it starts drying out on top, but underneath it is so soft. And I'd mentioned, and we'd looked it up. Graham actually looked it up and texted me, but there's a white Georgia clay that they actually mine out of the ground, and they've resurfaced that racetrack with this white Georgia clay. So I'm not sure how deep that white clay goes, but it's different than the typical red Georgia clay. But anyways, we did start later. They started adding water immediately, you know, as soon as the first practice session was done. Only one rider went down in practice, and that was TJ Welty. I heard he was shaken up a little bit. They did take him into the hospital just to get him checked out, and he returned back to the racetrack. So that's good. And as a matter of fact, he was the only rider to go down the entire weekend. So that's a good thing. I know the track you know, some people didn't like it. Some people did. I think, you know, it was as best they could for that particular circumstance, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. It was bad Saturday night. It would have got somebody hurt or some people hurt. So again, I think running on Sunday was the best decision. I don't typically like day races with the exception of a few. Springfield, there's no lights there, so that's the only option we have. And the track crew at the Springfield Mile knows exactly what to do to take care of that racetrack. Also, Peoria, Illinois, the Thunder Valley, the TT there, they run during the day because there's no lights there as well. But they also know how to take care of that racetrack. And I know Mother Nature's helped a few different ways the last few seasons, but I like Saturday night races. I like being under the lights. I think you get to see the brakes glowing red. You get to see, you know, sometimes sparks coming off the steel shoes. So I'd much rather have it on Saturday night. I think the riders would rather have it on Saturday night. I know the fans would too, because if you have it on a Sunday when it's planned for a Saturday, it's hard to take an extra day off work. It's hard to change flights. I know some people were changing their flights. It was ridiculous. I know I had a hard time extending my car rental, you know, and then you got to extend the hotel room. So there's so much that goes with it. And it's not cheap for anybody. It's an added cost to everybody, including American Flat Track, including the racetrack, including the riders, and especially including the fans. So I'm glad that the fans that stuck around for Sunday got to come back out and got to see a good show. Let's talk about the Parts Unlimited AFT Singles presented by Kicker Practice. It was Cody Kopp in qualifying one. He had a 17.739. In qualifying two, he had a Chase Sadoff had a 17.953. So Kopp was a little bit faster in the first round of qualifying. They did one round of practice. Cody Kopp was fastest. So that put Cody Kopp as the fast qualifier. He would start in the heat race number one. He would go on to win heat race number one. Dalton Gauthier always goes good there. He would finish second. Aiden Rusevans had a very good ride all day long. He finished third in heat race number one. The 288, Braden Fanders in his rookie debut, just turned 16 after Daytona, but before Sonoy, he got fourth in his heat race. Travis Petten was fifth, and Terrence Santero was fifth. Cody Kopp's fastest lap of that heat race was a 17.722, so he got a little bit faster in the first heat race. Heat race number two is Tom Drain, Chase Sadoff, Trent Lowe. Then you have the 24 of Hunter Bauer, the 49 Chad Coase, and the 19 James Ott. Ott was off a little bit. Now, I don't know exactly what happened. I know they switched to a different motorcycle later on in the day. But Ott, who finished second here last year, I had him up there as a podium guy. But he barely makes it into the heat race he barely makes it in the main event out of the heat race. But at least he's in the main event. And now you're looking at Trent Lowe, who finished third in the heat race, had fastest lap of 17.741. So it's about slowing down just a little bit. Last chance qualifier, the 87, that's Landon Smith from Pensacola, Florida, took the win. Renshaw was second. Shane Texter Bauman was third. Then you have the 66, Logan Eisenhardt fourth. Justin Jones was fifth. And the 55 would be the final transfer. The 55 is Tyler Raggio. Al Lamb, Dallas Honda Challenge, four laps, $2,500 to win. So it pays a lot of money. Dalton Gauthier took home the win. He needs the money. He's not expected to ride the whole season is what he keeps telling us. But, you know, if he keeps winning these challenge races, doing good in the main events, maybe he'll go to the entire season. We'll have to wait and see. Second was Tom Drain. Third was Chase Sadoff. And Cody Kopp was fourth. So fourth in the challenge race for the fast qualifier and the heat race one winner. Maybe they were trying something. Maybe he was trying a different line. Anyway, whatever happened, whatever they were doing in the main event, Cody Kopp picks up the win, his 17th career victory. Tom Drain was second, Chase Sadoff was third, Rusevans fourth, and Dalton Gauthier round out your top five. Ott, again, remember he got sixth in the heat race. He came back and got sixth in the main event. Hunter Bauer was seventh. Trent Lowe eighth 2 years in a row with this race. Travis Petten ninth, and Braden Fanders, the 288, his first main event and a top 10 on his resume already with a 10th place finish. Fastest lap in the main event was Cody Kopp with a 17.656, so it's slowing down a little bit further. Lap leaders, Dalton Gauthier led laps 1 through 3. Tom Drain led laps 4 through 6, and then Cody Kopp took over and led laps 7 through 22, so he leads 16 laps. So again, that's his 17th career win. Two more to tie Shayna Texter-Bauman as the winningest rider in the Parts Limited AFT singles class. Looking at the points, Cody Kopp now with a 17-point lead already. Dalton Gauthier is second. Tom Drain is third. Chase Sadoff is fourth. Trent Lowe is fifth. Ott, Jones, Roos Evans, Pettin, and Logan Eisenhardt, your top 10. Let's click it up a gear into the Mission Super Twins in practice one. There's only one round of practice today. I didn't mention that earlier. Instead of two rounds of practice, two rounds of qualifying, they just did one round of practice, saving a little bit of track time, but also trying to help speed up the program a little bit. Jared Meese was fastest in the first practice with a 1:07.827, so it's quite a bit slower than it was for the singles. Qualifying one, it was Meese with a 1:07.798. That'd be the fastest lap. And qualifying two, Dallas Daniels, 1:07.848. In the first heat race, here comes the 44, the revolver, Brandon Robinson, who goes good at this racetrack. He took the win. Meese was second. Breyer was third. Davis Fisher fourth. Dan Bromley on the Honda Trans Alp was fifth. And the 25, Ben Lau, would be the final transfer. So the 44 had the fastest lap of the race, a 1:07.913. So again, track slowing down a little bit as it's drying out. Heat race number two, the 32, Dallas Daniels would be your winner. Johnny Lewis was second. Trevor Bruner, Blackjack, now in his third professional race on a twin. He was up there in that third spot. Vandekoy was fourth. Colby Carlisle, fifth. And Declan Bender on the Grumpy Old Men Racing Indian would be the final transfer out of heat race number two. Dallas Daniels, fast lap, 1:07.874. So he's staying consistent for Daniels, a little bit slower in the first heat race for Robinson. Last chance qualifiers, the 37, that's Bronson Bauman taking the win, Cameron Smith second, Max Whale third, the 92 of Price is fourth, 99 Stallings is fifth, and Michael Hill in the 47 to get the last transfer into the main event. No provisional was used in the Super Twins class. The 37 had a quick lap. It was actually faster than Dallas Daniels' lap in the heat race number two, a 1:07.854. So the 37's finding his groove right now, and he's got Travis Smith helping out in the pit area on that number 37 bike. In the Mission Challenge, Too Fast, Too Tasty Challenge race, it was the 32, Dallas Daniels taking the win. Jared Meese was second, Johnny Lewis third, and the 44, Robinson was fourth. Dallas's fast lap, a 1:07.765. So when the time counts, when the $5,000 is up for grabs, Dallas dropping the hammer just a little bit and goes even quicker. But then we line up for the main event. And this was something that was interesting right off the start. And usually we do the starting lineup as they're out there, you know, lined up ready to go to save time. We just did it as they rode out around the racetrack. So when the cameras caught up to the front row, Jared Meese had the last pick because he was second in the slowest heat race. So he had have fourth pick, the last pick on the front row. By the time the cameras caught up to everybody, it looked like the 32 Dallas Daniels had picked his spot, the 44 Robinson had picked his spot. And it kind of looked like the 10 was going for the higher spot, and then he went down and took the pole position. Well, here comes Meese, and Meese was trying to take that spot away. So from what I've been told from people that were on the other side of the racetrack, I guess Johnny Lewis almost looked like he picked the high side, you know, the outside of the front row. You go in order of how you were on the sheet to pick your spots in the semis and the main events. You know, it almost looked like Jared Meese wanted that lower line, and they kind of got, you know, front of the helmet to front of the helmet, and those two guys don't really have any love lost for each other. I know they both grew up in Pennsylvania, and they've raced each other quite a bit, but Meese really wanted that inside spot, and Johnny Lewis stood his ground. Well, if Johnny Lewis had third pick, he should get that spot. I don't know what Meese was that upset about, because I didn't see the entire thing, but I do know what happened. Meese ended up on the outside, which, if he got a good shot, would point him down the racetrack, actually. And I think it just pissed off Jared Meese. And a pissed off, determined Jared Meese is a guy that can't be stopped. So when the light turned green, Jared Meese just led him into that first corner. So I think it was, you know, fuel to the fire. Jared Meese is one hell of a rider anyway. And the Sonoy short track actually rides like a half mile. It's banked, it's fast. The lap times were the same as the Daytona short track. However, this track is a lot bigger. Anyway, Jared Meese grabs the whole shot. The 32 Dallas Daniels, you know, had the lead for just a second on lap three and lap four, but, you know, then lost touch with Meese. Meese would check out and take the win. Daniels was second, Robinson third, Breyer Bauman fourth, Vandekoy fifth, Johnny Lewis sixth after running up front for most of the race. I thought he's going to get a good top three on that Royal infield, but he would settle for sixth. Price was seventh. Davis Fisher, eighth. Trevor Bruner, ninth. And Maxwell, a top 10 on his Harley-Davidson. So Meese leads lap one and two. Daniels leads lap three and four. And then Meese leads from lap five to lap 36. So Meese leads for 34 laps. Daniels did have the fastest lap of the main event with a 1:07.724. So he found some time. I know they probably watered the racetrack right before the race, so I'm sure that was early on in the main event. So it's Jared Meese's seventh short track win. It is also his 73rd Grand National victory. It's incredible what he's doing. I know he can catch Chris Carr if he pulls off a few more wins this season. He could possibly even pass Chris Carr. Chris Carr is sitting with 78, so he needs five more to tie, six more to pass Chris Carr on the second all-time win list. So my dad and I, you know, we have time together to visit. We also talk to each other after all the races and stuff like that. But he had an idea last season when these challenge races came about, and I'm going to bring it back up again. And I think it's a good idea, but we both think, my dad and I'll go ahead and say I do too, just because I'm not trying to throw my dad under the bus, but I'm also not taking credit for this idea. It's something we have talked about, but I think how you finish the challenge race should be how you line up in the first row of the main event, or that should be your picking order, I should say. So if you win the challenge race, obviously you will have first pick. Second in the challenge race, second pick. Anyway, the reason we say that is, look at Cody Kopp finishing fourth in the challenge race. Was he trying something, or did he get a bad start and not want to push the issue? Because, you know, Cody Kopp wants championships. He wants race wins. Doesn't necessarily have challenge races on that bucket list of things he needs to do. So why risk it for a challenge race? Well, if you get a better starting pick in the main event, they will all race harder all the way to the checkered flag. And I'm not picking on Cody Kopp. I'm just using his as an example, because obviously, it didn't matter to Cody to finish fourth in the challenge race, but for us fans, and I'm a race fan as well as an announcer slash commentator, I want to see these guys race all the way to the checkered flag. It doesn't matter what race it is, and I think that will also set a good image for the up-and-comers, the amateur riders, who, you know, some of them give up, you know, before they get to the finish line and might cost them a position, or they just back off because, you know, if they're going to get fourth place, well, what's the difference in seventh place to these kids? Well, I think, you know, race all the way to the checkered flag. Let's lead by example. And I'm no way picking on Cody Kopp. I'm just throwing that out there as an example. He finished fourth in his challenge race. He goes on to win the main event. He's got more talent in his left boot than I have in my whole body. So I'm not picking on him. I'm just using Cody Kopp as the example. With that win, Jared Meese sits securely alone now, third all-time on the short track overall win list. Chris Carr and Henry Wiles are tied for first. Jake Johnson with 9, I should say. Jake Johnson has 8, and Jared Meese now has 7. So technically he's fourth on the list, but he's got the third most, if that makes sense. Mission Super Twins points. Dallas Daniels with a win, a third, and a second is 3 points ahead of Brandon Robinson, who has a third, a first, and a third. Jared Meese now moves up to third place with that win, with a sixth, a fifth, and a win. Brandon Price now fourth with a second, a ninth, and a seventh. And Breyer getting a little bit more consistent. He had an eighth opening night. Remember the first time on that motorcycle, a fourth and a fourth. So Breyer rounds out your top five in your Mission Super Twins point standings. Also, there were three classes running out there in Sonoy, Georgia. The Memphis Shades Bull Taco Astro Invitational. Gonzo, Garth Brow was fastest in practice, fastest in qualifying with a 1:09.024. Would start on the pole of the main event, and we had the camera on him, and all of a sudden the bike just took off, and the lights never turned green. Well, when he took off, a few other bikes did too, and we watched it back. His left hand never moved off the clutch, but the clutch stopped working, obviously, so he took off and it stalled. So that put three guys on the back row, including Gonzo Garth Brow, and it left Charlie Roberts on the front row all by himself. And then at the very on the restart, Garth Brow could not get the bike going again. He stalls it on the line, so the clutch just completely, letting go on that number 15 Bull Taco. So a tough break for Garth Brow. I thought he was going to be up there contending for the win. Charlie Roberts did take the win. He had a pretty commanding victory. Wyatt Campbell, a younger rider out of Louisiana, was closing in on Charlie near the end. And Lance Jones gets up to third, and I guess he told his mechanics he's just going to go out there and run a few laps. And I guess he's fighting some health issues right now. So, Lance, if you're listening, I hope you feel better soon. But Lance ends up third. Dave Aldana was fourth. And Jamie James, the Raging Cajun, was fifth. And I've got to talk about this because I love the fans. And I love, how people will correct me. And if I'm saying a name wrong, I welcome anybody to help me out. And my phone goes crazy during the races. Most of the time I try to keep it, hidden so I can focus on my job. But in between races or during a commercial break or when I get a chance to step out of the booth and run to the bathroom, whatever, I may look at it. And this gentleman on Facebook, he was trying to save me from embarrassment is exactly what he said. He said he's friends with Dave Aldana for his whole life. And I said, I'm friends with him too. And he said that he told me to say it's Dave Aldana. Well, I've known this for quite a while. I think from one of the races out in Calistoga, California, I talked to David downtown. We actually sat down and had lunch together, I believe. But Dave Aldana is how you say it. And he says, I tell you what. He said, you say it however you want, but it is Aldana. And he said, I'll tell you this. I'm the fastest Mexican here. Of course, he was being funny. But anyways, so, I try my hardest to be correct on everything. And I take my job very serious. And, I sent the guy a message back and he never responded because I actually stepped out of the trailer during, one of the track prep sessions or whatever. And I ran and found Dave and he parked, not too far away from the production truck. So I got to go talk to him and I just verified it. And, again, I hate making mistakes. I'm human. I do say a lot of words during a race day and I do make mistakes. I do know that. I try to correct myself if I have the opportunity, and I try to say the names properly. So, I had trouble at Daytona with some of the new ladies in the Royal Enfield Build Train Race Program. I went and talked to the ladies beforehand. I made myself notes, and I still messed up. You learn from repetition. You learn from getting to know these ladies or these riders. And anyway, enough of that. I'll get off my soapbox, but Aldana was good enough for fourth there on Sunday, and the Raging Cajun Jamie James was fifth. Let's switch gears. Also, last weekend, the exact same night that Sonoy was scheduled to run was Saturday night, was the World Championship Ice Racing season finale in Troy, Ohio. All I have is the main event results for the pro classes and who are the world champions. I'll start with the quad class first. It was Blaine Steginga taking the win. Dylan Meyer was second, and Trent Powell was third. And Blaine Steginga from South Dakota up there near Sioux Falls would be a back-to-back champion. Tyler Allen, on his 25th birthday, would come up a little bit short. He would finish fourth in the main event, and it was between him and Blaine. They ride to a lot of the races together. They're good buddies. So I think, no hard feelings or anything like that. But, I know Tyler Allen's a three-time champ, and now Blaine is a two-time back-to-back champ. So congrats to Blaine. He was the main event winner and took home the world championship in the quad division. In the motorcycles, it was Jeremy Orr taking the win. Wyatt Vaughn, they call him Red, was second. Kenny the Machine Dolan was third. Logan McGrane was eighth, and I heard he got in, made contact or ended up going down, but he had such a big lead, and there are points, paid out, for different things. Anyway, the points lead was so big, just making the main event, I think, was good enough for Logan to secure the championship, but he had a good season. He won a race, I believe, out there in Pennsylvania, if I'm not mistaken. But Logan, the Freight Train McGrane, wins the championship. He is a back-to-back champion as well in the World Championship Ice Racing. So, again, congrats to the champs. I wish I could have been there. I know it's such a fun series, and I know I miss that one a lot. Hopefully, next season that it doesn't overlap or doesn't run into the same weekend as, one of our other races. I think last year when I was in Georgia, they were up in, somewhere by Chicago when they had the CO2 level problems. So it just depends on this particular weekend when they try to finish up is already, you know, American flat track races. So hopefully there's not conflict of interest again next year. But, you know, I know it's hard to get into some of these buildings. I know there's a lot of events going on. And when the event offers you a date, you pretty much have to take it. So congrats to the world champions. And, you know, that season is over and we'll see them again probably in December or January. We'll switch gears, talk about the what's going on, the latest news and notes. Granite City, the RPM race for tomorrow, has been canceled due to weather. That actually got canceled on Tuesday night. The Barber Fritchie Classic going on July 4th has also been postponed / canceled for the 2024 season. They're going to try to bring it back next year. The reason saying that there, you know, a lot of the amateurs will already be in Du Quoin, Illinois. Also, the Lima, Ohio National is the last weekend of Saturday for American Flat Track. And then the next Saturday is the Du Quoin Mile. So they're saying a lot of the pros, a lot of the track personnel workers, including myself and Steve Nace and his crew, will be down in Du Quoin, Illinois, working those races. So I get it. And I watched Sideways with Sammy on Tuesday night. And what he hopes happens is the fairgrounds opens up the gate and we let two guys battle a couple laps around the racetrack, and we'll call that a race, so it's consecutive. But it's, you know, this race has been going on for so long. I think it was going to be the 103rd running of the Barber Fritchie Classic there in Frederick, Maryland. So as of now, that race has been canceled until next season. Next weekend, there is a movie premiere coming up in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm going to be there. The movie is called Angels of Dirt. Wendy Schneider started filming this, you know, 15 to 17 years ago. It was going to be a documentary style movie, and it was going to really focus on Charlotte Caines. Well, Charlotte unfortunately passed away at a race in California, and that put this film and this project on hold. Well, just recently, Wendy got the film done. She took it out to California, showed Mert Lawwill and a few of the other sponsors of this movie the premiere. The official premiere is not until next weekend, April the 6th, at Madison, Wisconsin. I'm actually in the movie. I haven't seen my part in the film yet, but I went up there probably a month ago. Now I can talk about it since the movie's going to come out pretty soon. But she wanted the voice of Flat Track in there. So I didn't talk about, you know, crashing. I didn't talk about how bad our sport is sometimes and the bad things that can happen. I talked about, you know, why we race and the different kinds of racing and different things like that. So I can't wait to see what Wendy added into the movie, but I'm going to go check that out next Saturday. Tickets are still available. That's going on in Madison, Wisconsin. If you're anywhere near there, get a hold of Angels of Dirt. It is on social media. It's on Facebook. It's on Instagram. I know a few tickets are still available. You can also support her by buying some merchandise. Grab a t-shirt. Grab a poster. The event posters are awesome. I can't wait to get mine. Anyways, that's going on next weekend. Also, next weekend, April the 6th, RPM will be at Champaign, Illinois. It's a half mile. It is a day race, so that's going on. And also on April the 6th is the RVA race out there in Virginia. Saluda, Virginia. Actually, we raced a Grand National there before, but it's at Virginia Motor Speedway, which is Saluda, Virginia. A $20,000 purse, and it's a super fast half mile. There's also $1,000 to win the hooligan class. So there's going to be some fast guys and girls out there racing. That's April the 6th in Virginia. Let's go out to the West Coast. April the 3rd is open practice in Paris, California for the SCFTA Racing Association out there. Also, April the 27th is their season opener. May 8th is a test and tune, because on May 10th, the night before the AFT race in Ventura, is a race. May the 10th, SCFTARacing.com for more information. There's new people running the short track now. The previous people have stepped down, have retired is what I've been told. So I'm looking at being out there for this one. I love going out to California. I love the racing out there, and it's pretty cool that SCFTA has asked me to announce that race, as well as what I usually do up at Lodi. That's going on May the 3rd up there, the night before the Silver Dollar at Lodi is usually a big money race also. That's going to be on Friday night, May the 3rd, the night before Silver Dollar. And then 2 weeks after that, May 17th through 19th, is the West Coast Triple Crown, which is an AMA weekend. So these folks out there can have their chance at getting a number one plate from the AMA. Also, another race that I've been talking about going to, June the 1st, Battle at the Border, Welland, Ontario, Canada. This short track is one that's been on my bucket list for quite a while. I've never actually been to the racetrack. I know it got resurfaced the last couple of seasons. Doug Lawrence is a part of this now, and he's reached out to me, so I'm trying to fit that into my travel schedule. But June the 1st, Battle at the Border, Welland, Ontario, Canada short track. And now it's time for my stat of the week. So I've been thinking a lot about this one, trying to figure out something that's relevant. And we're headed to Texas in a few weeks. April the 27th, we'll be at Texas Motor Speedway for the Mission Texas Half Mile. That's just outside of Fort Worth. Looking at the stats, Jared Meese is incredible in Texas. Listen to these stats, folks. In 2016, he won at Circuit of the Americas. 2017, second at Texas Motor Speedway. 2018, he won at Texas Motor Speedway. 2019, he won at Texas Motor Speedway. 2020, that was the COVID year. We moved until late in the season and we raced at the Devil's Bowl. He got a fourth and a fourth both nights. 2021 was a rain out at Texas Motor Speedway. 2022, he won again at Texas Motor Speedway. And 2023, he won at the Devil's Bowl. So anytime we're in Texas, sounds like it's for Jared Meese. Those are incredible stats. If you think about just the Nationals in one state and the wins that Jared Meese has, 9 races, 1 was a rainout, so 8 races, 5 wins, a second, and 2 fourths. That is incredible. So that's my stat of the week, Jared Meese. We should just start calling him Tex. Anyway, that's all I got this week. Again, thanks to all my sponsors. Thank you so much to my patrons who support me each and every week. Thanks to Jim and Pat for sending that awesome paperwork. Thanks to Tim at Pro Plates. I'm getting some more number plates made here pretty soon. And I'm thinking about selling some. We'll have to see what Tim's got to say about that. And thanks to Access Media. They created one of my logos that just my big mouth on a microphone talking. So thanks to Access Media. And, you know, especially, again, thank you to all my listeners. You guys are the reason I do this podcast. I love it. And I'll talk to you guys soon, right here on Off the Groove.